gay ranch hands in Wyoming, they're very far from me. But I think it touched that enigmatic subject of love.
Well, I guess I'll see you around, huh?
Right. When we were cast opposite what I thought, I realized that Aang recognized in both of us something that I don't think either of us saw necessarily.
We certainly didn't go into this movie with any political intentions, but if it helps someone kind of accept other forms of love, then that's certainly not a bad thing.
That's all I need to make the Yuletide gay.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Latvia's parliament defiantly enshrines marriage inequality, liberal Roman Catholics are revolted by the gay priest ban, and a cowboy romance makes movie queerstery. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending December 17, 2005. Latvia's parliament this week approved a constitutional amendment banning same-gender marriage after 65 out of 100 lawmakers supported the proposal in its third and final reading, and despite criticism from the country's president, prime minister, and foreign minister. Six MPs voted against the amendment. The rest of the legislature was either absent or abstained. The measure must be signed by President Vera Vaika Freiburga to become law, and with so many MPs in favor of it, it would be difficult for her to reject it. The new law reads, "The state protects marriage, a union between a man and a woman, family, the rights of parents and children." It was promoted by a religious-oriented political faction known as the First Party. Same-gender marriage is already prohibited in the country's civil code, but proponents of the constitutional amendment claimed it was necessary to deflect challenges to the law under European Union anti-discrimination regulations. Members of the European Parliament condemned the move as homophobic and backward. The International Lesbian and Gay Association said in a statement that it was appalled and seriously concerned by what it called such homophobic developments in Latvia. The group called on the European Union to look into what they called disregard and disrespect of EU principles and laws. Queer rights have emerged as a heated political issue in the Baltic country this year. A first-ever pride parade in July sparked massive protests. Police had to protect the 100 or so marchers.
Meanwhile, the sixth time was apparently the charm, as the lower chamber of the Czech parliament approved draft legislation this week to establish registered partnerships giving same-gender couples some of the rights of marriage. 86 of the 147 deputies present voted in favor, 54 were opposed, 7 abstained, and 53 others weren't there for the vote. Similar proposals have failed 5 previous times, most recently by just 1 vote in February. The draft law would provide registered gay and lesbian couples inheritance and health care benefits similar to those granted to heterosexually married couples. Leading Czech activist Jiří Romata said his colleagues will continue to work for further couples' rights, but that this is an acceptable compromise. However, even the current measure is not likely to fare as well in the Czech Senate, dominated by the conservative Civic Democratic Party that opposed the lower house legislation.
A new legal front in the U.S. battle for marriage equality has been established in the state of Iowa, where Lambda Legal this week filed a lawsuit on behalf of 6 same-gender couples seeking the right to marry. Iowa has no anti-discrimination laws protecting gays and lesbians, but an anti-marriage constitutional amendment died in the state Senate earlier this year. Similar lawsuits are underway in 6 other states: Washington, New Jersey, New York, California, Maryland, and Connecticut. The Washington case was argued before the state Supreme Court in March, and a decision is expected at any time. Lambda Legal will go before New Jersey's High Court early next year. The lawsuits in New York and California are being considered by state appeals courts, while the Maryland and Connecticut cases are still at the trial level. All the lawsuits seeking marriage equality are being heard in state rather than federal courts, so whatever the outcomes, no appeals can be filed with the U.S. Supreme Court. Queer legal advocates have counseled not pushing for a high court ruling until there are more legal victories at the state level and until there's more public support for marriage equality, which has gradually increased in recent years.
two gay men in Taiwan's capital of Taipei held what they called an engagement party at a five-star hotel on International Human Rights Day, December 10th. Activists said that the date for the ceremony, attended by both men's families and about 100 supporters, was intentionally picked to underscore the need for laws protecting sexual minorities there. It was at least the third such public ceremony in Taiwan, which does not legally recognize gay and lesbian relationships. The event was called an engagement rather than wedding party because the participants said they were still waiting for the legal right to marry. A controversial bill to allow that has been languishing in the legislature since it was introduced 2 years ago. A spokesperson for the Gender Sexuality Rights Association told reporters that being in a homosexual relationship is not difficult. What is difficult is coming out of the closet and asking for other people's blessing.
A judge in South Korea announced his support for legal unions for same-gender couples in a recently published paper there. Judge Chung Jae-woo of Jeju District Court said the rights of Korean same-gender couples need to be protected to help end discrimination against gays and lesbians. The Seoul High Court recently rejected a bid by a woman seeking alimony from her female partner, ruling that a cohabiting same-gender couple could not legally be considered a marriage.
Austria's justice minister this week appeared to float a trial balloon for some type of national partnerships for gay and lesbian couples. Karen Gastinger, a member of the Center-Right Alliance for the Future of Austria, told the Austria press agency that notarized gay and lesbian relationships would be given the same rights and obligations heterosexual couples have under Austrian law, including rental property and medical decisions, and possibly alimony arrangements if a couple splits up. However, some members of both the conservative Austrian People's Party and Gastinger's alliance, with whom it shares power in a coalition government, have been reluctant to extend marriage-like rights to same-gender couples in the predominantly Roman Catholic country.
Roman Catholic priests and lay people around the world are expressing their dissatisfaction with the Vatican's recent pronouncement barring gay men from the seminary. In an open letter posted on the Catholic news website Adista, 50 Italian clergy denied that being gay had anything to do with their ability to live chastely, adding that, "We consider our homosexuality to be wealth because it helps us to share the marginalization and suffering of many people." Liberal theologians throughout Europe have similarly denounced the November 29th document from the Congregation for Catholic Education. A few high-profile gay priests have resigned their positions in protest. Since the crackdown on gay priests is implicitly a response to the child abuse scandal that has rocked the U.S. church, the reaction from advocates of the victims is most interesting. The Voice of the Faithful group organized rallies in at least six cities to call the attempted gay purge a diversionary tactic. Boston VOTF Chair Dorothy Kennedy called it another attempt to cover up with a false solution.
A gay Zimbabwean has been denied asylum in the U.S. despite the overt repression of homosexuals in his country and the infamous, vehemently anti-gay rhetoric of President Robert Mugabe. William Kumumwe left Zimbabwe for Kenya in 1998 when Mugabe declared homosexuality illegal. He arrived in the U.S. in 2002. In his application for asylum, Kumumwe reported that he had been expelled from school after a gay sexual encounter at the age of 12 and was later arrested for having sex with another student in college. His asylum request was rejected by an immigration judge and then by the Board of Immigration Appeals. That decision was upheld by a divided panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit, where a two-judge majority ruled that Kumumwe's actions, rather than his sexual orientation, were the cause of his problems with authorities. The prevailing side found that the Zimbabwe government's homophobia did not directly threaten Kumumwe, and that his experiences did not meet the definition of persecution as the infliction or threat of death, torture, or injury to one's person or freedom. Dissenting judge Gerald Heaney wrote that an openly gay man should not be returned to a country whose leader has vowed to rid the country of homosexuals.
And finally, along with several other media outlets last week, we reported that the Ford Motor Company planned to stop advertising some of its car lines in gay publications. This came after a supposed meeting between Ford and representatives of the rabidly anti-queer American Family Association, or AFA, earlier this year. The AFA had threatened a boycott of the company because it considers Ford to be too gay-friendly. Ford officials refused to confirm that those meetings had ever taken place, and the numerous media reports about this issue seem to have been fueled primarily by the AFA's press releases about it. After the story broke, Ford management did meet with queer leaders at its Detroit headquarters, and in a letter to LGBT advocacy groups this week, the company said that in addition to its original advertising plans, it would expand the ads to include all 8 Ford brands. It should be noted, however, that ads in gay media represent an extremely small part of the company's overall advertising budget. AFA Chairman Donald Wildman said in yet another news release that hinted of a renewed boycott threat, "Unfortunately, some Ford Motor Company officials made the decision to violate our good faith agreement. We are now considering our response to the violation and expect to reach a decision very soon." While Joe Solomonese, president of the Human Rights Campaign, said in a statement that, "At Ford Motor Company, fairness and equality win out." The company's actions don't seem to have adversely affected its market position. In fact, Ford stock rose slightly on the New York Stock Exchange the day following the announcement about the reinstated ads.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending December 17, 2005. Written this week by John Beaupre, Lucia Chappelle, and Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
Many doubted the movie would ever be made. Once it was to star Billy Crudup or Matt Damon, Colin Farrell or Josh Hartnett. For a while, Gus Van Sant was to take the helm. It was on the front burner at Columbia Pictures, then it vanished. Then it popped up at Focus Features. Remarkably, it survived. "Remarkable it is," says This Way Out's Steve Pride, about one of the decade's most anticipated films, Brokeback Mountain.
Based on a short story by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Annie Prolu, the film version of Brokeback Mountain was directed by Academy Award-winning filmmaker Ang Lee from a screenplay by Pulitzer Prize-winning author Larry McMultrie and his longtime writing partner Diana Asana. It's not just a landmark gay film. It's one of the most heart-wrenching love stories that I've ever seen. Set against the sweeping vistas of Wyoming and Texas, the film tells the story of two young men, a ranch hand and a rodeo cowboy, who meet in the summer of 1963 when they work as sheep herders up on Brokeback Mountain. Ennis Del Mar, played by Heath Ledger, and Jack Twist, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, become friends and then unexpectedly lovers. But at summer's end, the two must come down from Brokeback and part ways.
You gonna do this again next summer?
Well, maybe not. Like I said, me and Alma's getting married in November. So, we're trying to get something on the ranch, I guess. And you?
I might go up to my daddy's place and give my hand through the winter. I might be back. The army don't get me.
Well, I guess I'll see you around, huh?
Right.
Filmmaker Ang Lee is heterosexual. Grew up in Taiwan and was only 9 years old in 1963. So what drew him to this particular story?
Gay ranch hands in Wyoming, they're very far from me. But I think it touched that enigmatic subject of love, I think. And because the strange combination of West, macho Western and a gay love story, I think the unfamiliarity for me reached out very far. And the emotion lands very hard, but the emotion is about missing, about something you don't get. I think that's very poignant, very profound. It's kind of existential to think that two characters spent 20 years trying to go back to where they started in the mountain, in a place that they hardly understand themselves. So that's a calling for me.
Remaining in Wyoming, Ennis does wed his sweetheart Alma, has two daughters, and struggles to eke out a living. Jack, in Texas, catches the eye of a wealthy rodeo queen, gets a job working for her father, they have a son. 4 years pass. One day, Ennis gets a postcard from Jack, who's en route to visit from Wyoming. When Jack arrives, it's clear that the passage of time has only strengthened their feelings. In the years that follow, Ennis and Jack meet up several times annually. They struggle to keep their bond alive and secret from their wives.
You still go fishing with Jack Twist?
Not often.
I used to wonder how come you never brought any trouts home. You always said you caught plenty, and you know how me and the girls lack fish. So one night I got your creel case open, night before you went on one of your little trips. Price tag still on it after 5 years. And I tied a note to the end of the line. It said, "Hello, Ennis, bring some fish home. Love, Alma." And then you come back, looking all perky. I said you caught a bunch of browns and you ate them up. Do you remember? I looked in that case first chance I got, and there was my note still tied there. That line hadn't touched water in its life.
That mean nothing, Alma.
Don't try and fool me no more, Ennis. I know what it means. Jack Twist. Jack Nasty. You didn't go up there to fish.
Ennis Del Mar's inability to move beyond the boundaries of expectations, dictated by time and community, brings tear-inducing poignancy to Brokeback Mountain. Actor Heath Ledger stuns in the stoic role. Ledger says he found things he admired in the man he played.
His potential, you know? He had great potential to love, and I think the one time you really see the potential is with his kids, his children, because that's the one form of love he's really allowed to express. It's not dangerous to him. And with his wife, it just wasn't really love. It was what he thought should be love, and it was a routine that he slipped into, because it was conventional, it was traditional, and obviously his love for Jack was forbidden, and he hated himself for it. He punished himself for it, you know. Essentially, he was a homophobic man in love with another man, so that I guess I always had faith in the love within him a lot more than he did, and I think that's what all the characters I think found in him too was this the potential within this masculine figure to be kind of vulnerable.
Although Heath Ledger is receiving all the Oscar buzz, Jake Gyllenhaal's portrayal of the outgoing Jack Twist ranks among his best work, but it's not the role he thought he'd get.
I thought that Aang would want to cast me as Ennis and Heath as Jack, just because I felt like Heath was more outgoing and you're used to Heath kind of being a kind of active, less passive presence, you know, and somewhere in my mind, naively, I guess I thought that. And when we were cast opposite what I thought, I realized that Aang recognized in both of us something that I don't think either of us saw necessarily. And that want to always kind of push forward and progress and change things was something in Jack that I felt like I really had too. And that the amount of words he says, I think it's sort of the same thing in a different way. They're like yin and yang, you know, and when they come together, I do think they make a circle. Heath and I talked a lot about it, and I find a lot of just in Heath, him in his own nature, I feel like he carries his heart on his shoulder. You know, he's the kind of guy who's always protecting himself in different ways, but he's really a sensitive guy. And whether or not he's talking or not talking, I think you can sense that from him always. And I just was playing with that. Like, I saw that, and it was like a friendship that we had as actors that was somehow translated to in the movie.
One interesting thing about the release of Brokeback Mountain is that despite its pedigree, and despite being wonderful filmmaking, it's not really groundbreaking subject matter. We've had amazing gay love stories told before. But although this began as another potential low-budget gay indie, the casting of two of Hollywood's hottest young heterosexual stars pushed it into the headlines. And the press began to chant, "Aren't they brave?"
All we were doing was servicing a story.
Actor Jake Gyllenhaal.
I feel like Annie Prolu found this book in some forest somewhere and was like, oh my God, an untold myth. It feels like a story that has not been told, and it's sort of an odd thing that it hasn't yet somewhere. And I felt like, and I still feel like to this day, we're servicing something I think a lot bigger than anybody involved in the film. You know, what I think is really more courageous is people who are trying to be intimate in their real life and who are up against the real things. You know, we just were making a movie for 2 months where we played characters, and I think it's a time where more people are open to this than it might seem.
His co-star, Heath Ledger, concurs.
I think it's a bit silly. I think it's a bit obvious, and, you know, the whole that it's daring and that it's brave,
you know, firefighters are daring and brave, you know, we're acting, it's like, I'm quite safe right now, you know, I'm not hurt, it didn't damage me, I'm alive, I didn't really have to be that brave, I was just doing something that, you know, I like to do, I was performing and portraying, and my interest, I don't know, I think it's a shame that it's built up too much, I think it shouldn't be such a big deal. But hopefully that's what this movie will do, is it'll slowly start to kind of open people's eyes and hearts and imagination. I think it's quite a shame that we live in a world where we have, and I think we're moving out of it slowly, where people are so eager to voice their opinions and disgust concerning the ways in which people choose to love one another. I don't know, it just doesn't make sense to me, and I think, I don't know. We certainly didn't go into this movie with any political intentions, like we don't want to change the world, but if it helps someone kind of accept other forms of love, then that's certainly not a bad thing.
Ironically, filmmaker Ang Lee would have had no problem casting gay actors.
A gay actor actually make my job easier. I would love to, but I gotta go with my best choice by the time I have to cast. I think Heath is a great anchorman for that Western thing. And Jake should be a romantic lead. So I just go for the best possible choice.
As a filmgoer and critic, I can't imagine a better cast or better storytelling. Brokeback Mountain is beautiful, moving, and tragic.
What if you and me had a little ranch somewhere, a little cow and calf operation? It'd be a sweet life. You know, hell, Lorraine's old man, you better give me a down payment to get lost. I mean, he more or less already said it.
No, I told you it ain't gonna be that way. You know, you got your wife and baby in Texas, and, you know, I got my life in Riverton.
That's so. You and Alma, that's a life.
Oh, you shut up about Alma. This ain't her fault. The bottom line is, we're around each other, and this thing grabs hold of us again in the wrong place, in the wrong time.
And what would Heath Ledger like the audience to take away from the film?
For me, it's a story of how love transcends all. The environment you're born in, the opinions of generations before you, i.e. your family, your parents, your father, and how love is stronger than opinions that are installed in you as a child, and that it can break down those barriers, and just the power of love.
This has been a conversation with Ang Lee, Heath Ledger, and Jake Gyllenhaal. Brokeback Mountain is from Focus Features. For more information on this or other LGBT films, point your internet browser to prideonscreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Was a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine. Every time I think of him, I just can't keep from crying. 'Cause he was a friend of mine.
Next time on This Way Out.
From a legendary disco diva.
How do I look? How do I feel?
To a purveyor of country noir.
I love life and life itself. Could you some mercy now?
A variety of queer musicians painted a rich mosaic of our life and times on audiophile this year. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle. Join me and Chris Wilson as we survey our favorites on the Audiophile 2005 Year in Review, coming the last week of December here on This Way Out.
Boy Howdy, singer-songwriter Jay Spears serenades Santa with his list of Holly Gay tech toys.
Santa dear, hitching up the reindeer. I've been such a good boy this year. Before you take off through the atmosphere, let me whisper something in your ear. I want an iPod and an Xbox and a G5 and TiVo. That's all I need to make the
I'll be the happiest boy on Christmas Day. I've always been especially fond of the fable of the bouncing baby Jewish boy born in a stable. Had a boy, Santa boy, now we're talking. Come down my chimney and stuff my stocking with an iPod and an Xbox and a G5 and TiVo. That's all I need to make the Yuletide gay. And with an iPod and an Xbox and a G5 and TiVo, I'll be the happiest boy on Christmas Day. Can you bring world peace? Can you heal the sick? Make up with my brother and make it stick. Can you find me a man who's a perfect 10? Can you make my mama young again?
Well then,
I want an iPod and an Xbox and a G5 and TiVo. That's all I need to make the Yuletide gay. And with an iPod and an Xbox and a G5 and TiVo, I'll be the happiest boy on Christmas.
That was Jay's Christmas Song by Jay Spears. You can download that ditty for a nominal fee at jayspears.com. That's jayspears.com. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, John Beaupre, Sherry Lunn, Lucia Chappell, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Willie Nelson sang He Was a Friend of Mine from the Brokeback Mountain soundtrack, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep this program on the air and to discover some last-minute holiday gift-giving ideas and a U.S. tax deduction. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Happy holidays, religious extremists notwithstanding. And thanks for listening on 2TLC, Yamba, New South Wales, WSMU, North Dartmouth, Massachusetts, KMUN, Astoria, Oregon, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody stay tuned.